Hello, and thank you for listening to Southern Living Magazine, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Angela Odie, and for the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the February 2019 issue of Southern Living. Please enjoy. From the home and garden section, beautiful spaces, inside and out. House plan, the forever farmhouse, classic Southern architecture, breezy colors, and a dose of cozy textures create a new home with a comfortably old feeling, by Caroline McKenzie. Soothing. When decorator Sarah Bartholomew thinks about Palmetto Bluff, South Carolina, that's the word that comes to mind, and who could blame her? From the majestic coastline to the gas lamp-lined streets, the picturesque enclave emits gentle relaxation at every turn. Therefore, when clients asked her to twirl up their newly constructed home, that single word, soothing, became Bartholomew's design mantra. I wanted to replicate the community's overall feel throughout the interiors, the decorator explains. The bones of the home, the Southern Living Low Country Farmhouse, Plan SL2000, gave her a good start. The 2,754-foot square foot home, designed by the Court Atkins Group in Bluffton, South Carolina, is rooted in the Lowcountry vernacular. The main goal was to create a relatively timeless look with classic Southern elements, such as a gracious porch and a wide central passage that allows for pleasant cross breezes, says William Court, lead architect on the design. While genteel, the home is far from straight-laced, thanks to farmhouse-inspired finishes, such as rough-hewn hardwood floors and shiplap-paneled walls, in addition to the appropriately low-key floor plan. The idea was to combine casual materials and a sunny, open concept for a home that just instantly makes you feel at ease, Court says. With these attributes as her framework, Bartholomew set out to blend the sophisticated and the serene, just as Palmetto Bluff does. First up, a palette of fresh neutrals. Sometimes vacation homes can take the bring the outside in concept a bit too far, she says. Instead, subtle interpretations of the terrain, like keeping things light and bright, prove to be far more stylish and trend-proof. Room by room, Bartholomew incorporated weathered accents, marsh-inspired hues, and discreet antiques for elegant spaces that make you want to linger. Read on for her top tricks to create a beautiful, easygoing home. Calm, cool, coordinated. The home's open floor plan is the crux of its appeal. Bartholomew wanted visual cohesion, but she was careful to keep the look from going too one note. Case in point, gathering room, where she deliberately set off the space with a nubby grass cloth wall covering, cowtan and houts, meacocks in sand, that imbues the area with coziness and highlights the exterior brick applied around the fireplace as well. Marble would have looked too formal, and tile would have felt too sterile. A natural instinct for design. Palmetto Bluff has an organic beauty with the live oaks, Spanish moss, and tall marsh grasses, says Bartholomew. She let the scenery influence her surface selections, but refined the rustic touches with sleek modern art by Catherine Booker Jones. The simple shapes and quiet colors don't overwhelm. Keeping it quiet. The home's subdued exterior features the hallmarks of traditional low country style, such as a spacious front porch, tailored millwork, and louvered shutters, complete with shutter dogs. The symmetrical design makes for a striking facade, but it's simple enough to avoid detracting from the surrounding natural beauty of the area, explains Court. A cozy little corner. Who says a pass-through area has to be an afterthought? The floor plan's wide central hallway allows for pleasant breezes, as well as lots of natural light. Bartholomew even eked out a stylish living space. The large glass doors are flanked with linen curtain panels, and a handsome table and slipper chairs are placed just inside. The smart setup creates an inviting spot for guests to sit and stay a while. A dash of opulence. Bartholomew wanted the interior to be equal parts polished and approachable. One smart way she walked that fine line? Splurging on show-stopping lighting. The fixtures are a great way to introduce some of the homeowner's personality. Since the materials aren't within arm's reach, they can be precious or the design ornate without taking away from the comfort or function of the room, the decorator explains. Finishing touches. Key accessories, like the linen cafe curtains, striped runner, and upholstered stools, help warm up the classic white kitchen. Bathing beauty. The trick to making a master bath feel like a place for pampering? Don't treat it like a bath. Bartholomew appointed this one with a freestanding tub, which seems more like a piece of furniture, a living room-worthy chair, and wallpaper only above the wainscot. She also extended the wood floors into the room. Opposites attract. In the master bedroom, Bartholomew ran rather ingeniously topped a Louis XIV-style bed with a patterned slipcover. The tie-on covers add cottage-like detailing to the formal design. It's fun to play with traditional motifs. Pairing the contrasting looks is more pleasing to the eye than a single style might have been, she adds. It's also easy to change out a slipcover. Bartholomew continued the balancing act with various patterns throughout the room, using striped curtains and bordered pillow shams to ground the swirling pattern on the bed's slipcover. From the Travel and Culture section, your guide to the South now. Long weekend, the jewel of the coast. Florida's historic St. Petersburg invites you to its vibrant downtown and gorgeous beaches, by Jennifer Chapel Smith. Once a sleepy coastal city where retirees congregated on green benches lining the streets, Tampa's neighboring town now draws entrepreneurs, painters, and travelers, from beach lovers to art aficionados. Retirees have a lot more fun, too. My parents told me, "You're too young to move to St. Pete," says Emily Elwin, who relocated anyway, along with scads of other Gen Xers and millennials who've helped invigorate this town. So much of what people want is what we already have: a walkable downtown, front porch neighborhoods, funky old buildings, and access to the arts, parks, and recreation. Not to mention the fact that beaches are minutes away. A 12-year resident, Elwin now serves as president of the board of directors at Preserve the Burg, a nonprofit that leads city tours for locals and tourists every Saturday. From the historic old Northeast neighborhood, with its inviting bungalows, to the business center along the marina, where new additions and million-dollar condos are popping up, St. Petersburg feels both historic and emergent. Locals say the recent boom has centered along the Beach Drive, facing the bay, and Central Avenue, lined with galleries, bars, and boutiques. The town has only been this exciting for about 15 years, says Jerry Gamage, who volunteers at Florida Craft Art, a gallery and store that's also a statewide nonprofit. Gamage attributes the city's evolution to the arts community. Some might argue it's the baseball team, she says, nodding toward the Tampa Bay Rays' Tropicana Field on the downtown fringe. But most people in the baseball shirts go straight to the stadium. For Gamage, it was the Moran Arts Center, where locals can take classes and tourists can watch glass-blowing demos, that sparked many changes downtown. She says that once the Moran joined Florida Craft Art on Central Avenue a few years back, the businesses, restaurants, and warehouses turned studios followed. All about the arts. Adding to the cachet of Central Avenue, the Moran's Chihuly collection, a trove of fantastical blown glass creations by Dale Chihuly, moved inside a new gallery designed to help the viewer appreciate every curl and spire. The artist reportedly chose St. Petersburg because of its commitment to art and arts education. Gallery owner and multimedia artist Chad Mize even designed a popular t-shirt that proudly proclaims in bold lettering, "This city's place among the world's biggest cultural hubs, Paris, London, Tokyo, St. Pete." Originally, it was tongue-in-cheek, but we actually are kind of in that league, says Mize, who has sold more than 60,000 items with his world tour design. We are definitely an arts city in terms of culture and desirability. Shoppers along Central Avenue can browse through the curated housewares at Zazud, snag affordable handmade jewelry at Salt Light Art, and find on-trend fashions under $60 at Miss Red. Stroll past the murals that decorate refurbished buildings, some of which Mize painted after he moved to St. Pete, attracted by its heritage and potential for growth. I loved the kitsch of it, the neon signs, the roadside attraction aspect, and also the water, he says. Now there's just so much new restaurants and more stuff to do. Like Central Avenue, Beach Drive has done its part to spur the city's renaissance. The Museum of Fine Arts, which anchors this thoroughfare with neoclassical grandeur, celebrated its 50th anniversary in 2015. Its handsome interiors are reminiscent of a grand old estate, one where there just happens to be a Monet hanging on the wall. It's one of his House of Parliament paintings, just in case you're wondering. Sunken gardens and surreal experiences. Only a few blocks away, a botanical wonderland that's called the Sunken Gardens hides right in the middle of downtown. This landscape, more than a century old, will lure you into a maze of paths through towering palms and past fountains of pink bougainvillea and manicured gardens. People come from all over the country to admire the fluttering tops of bamboo stalks that grow as tall as palm trees. Visitors can get so entranced with the plants that they might not have time to stop by one of St. Petersburg's most amazing jewels, the stunning home for works by Spanish surrealist Salvador Dali. The Dali Museum overlooks the marina and faces the renovated Duke Energy Theater for the Arts, the Mahaffey Theater, which hosts world-class concerts, ballets, and more. Worth a trip for the architecture alone, the Dali invites visitors to climb an elegant spiral staircase to see masterworks housed on the third floor and to enjoy water and sky views through an undulating window on the way up. Take in the Dreams of Dali virtual reality experience, where you will join other headset-wearing visitors walking amid stark and startling landscapes. In the Avant Garden, you can pose with a mustache sculpture or sit on an oozing green bench that looks like it came straight out of a Dali painting. International flavors. The Dali has made us a destination for people from around the world, Gamage says. Have dinner at Trist Gastro Lounge on Beach Drive, and you might hear Spanish, French, or Italian accents coming from nearby tables. Enjoy the ambiance as well as Trist's frequently changing menu that promises fresh surprises every time you visit. Order a cocktail and join couples lounging beneath umbrellas at sidewalk tables. Try the Trist Deep Eddy Vodka, muddled strawberry, raspberry, lemon, and elderflower liqueur. Relax under the indoor twinkling light strands. They complement the illuminated facade of the Museum of Fine Arts located just across the street, where banners highlight the current exhibit. It's a happening spot. Clusters of diners bustle by to meet friends at Trist and other eateries, such as Red Mesa Cantina just a few blocks away. Locals take their dogs out for nightly walks, and places like Ocean Blue Galleries stay open late into the evening. St. Petersburg seems less like a typical resort town and more like a bayside neighborhood where visitors can take up residence and feel at home, if only for the weekend. Beautiful beaches. Despite the city's charms, the sand and surf of St. Pete Beach will eventually lure you away. The flamingo-hued Don Cesar Hotel, known as the Pink Palace, has been welcoming guests to this barrier island since the 1920s. On a perfect day, temps in the low 80s, no humidity, fluttering palms, it can be tough to find a parking spot on Gulf Way, which runs along the beachfront in the historic Pass a Grill neighborhood. The powder-soft white sand and turquoise-streaked water are worth enduring a momentary traffic jam. Across from 8th and 9th Avenues, a happy, banana-yellow hole in the wall called Paradise Grill serves sunbathers from breakfast until dinner time. It's flanked on Saturdays by the Suntan Art Mart, where you can find beach-themed creations and estate jewelry. Take a seat at the rooftop bar at Hurricane Seafood Restaurant for a seagull's view of the beach scene. The nearby Brass Monkey also offers an impressive Gulf Vista, along with a tangy grouper Reuben. The best of both worlds. On the pastel-colored row of beachy 8th Avenue shops, check out Bamboozle and Etc., which are both brimming with stylish coastal wares. This short street dead-ends into Mary Pier, with an old bait shop where you can book fishing charters. Hop on the shuttle to Shell Key, an undeveloped barrier island. After a 10-minute boat ride, the captain will drop you off where you're free to snorkel, sunbathe, dolphin watch, and collect shells until the shuttle picks you up a few hours later. End the day with dinner on historic Corey Avenue at Chill Restaurant and Bar. Order the espresso-rubbed beef tenderloin. Don't leave St. Pete without swinging back downtown for a drink along Central Avenue, which pulses with live music at a string of bars where tables spill onto the sidewalk. Check out the Mandarin Hyde, a sophisticated speakeasy-style place, or head to Mastery's Bar, a local landmark. They're both great spots to toast St. Petersburg while planning your return. Where to stay? St. Pete has no shortage of cool hotels, including some classic coastal spots. The Don Caesar St. Pete Beach. The Pink Palace is the centerpiece of St. Pete Beach. Opened in 1928, the Don Caesar just celebrated its 90th anniversary, but still feels updated with a new lobby and room renovations completed over the past decade. Hollander Hotel, downtown, with its restaurant, the Tap Room, a spa, and the stunning courtroom pool and terrace. This affordable gem is within walking distance of Beach Drive. Avalon, downtown, the Hollander Hotel's sister property offers access to the Hollander's pool as well as complimentary champagne and wine every evening. The Vinoy Renaissance St. Petersburg Resort and Golf Club, downtown. Pink with palm green trim. This recently renovated historic property on the marina exudes vintage glamour. Miami-inspired colors meet Art Deco style in the refreshed guest rooms and a new restaurant called Paul's Landing. On second thought, Atlanta attorney Molly Wethington always liked her Georgian-style home, but now, thanks to a remodel designed to loosen it up a little, she feels right at home. By Sarah Grossbart. For 10 years, Molly Wethington had been living the dream in the Georgian home she had built in Atlanta's Buckhead neighborhood in 2005. But as her family grew, she and husband Paul share his 5 adult children, along with their 2 kids. They needed more casual spaces. While standing during dinners in their tight kitchen, she plotted out gathering areas suited to her family's constant get-togethers. Not wanting to move, she enlisted architect Frank Neely and builder Patrick Davey to craft a basement hangout zone for teens Paul Jr., 17, and Catherine, 15, along with an eat-in kitchen bookended by a big den and a wraparound screened porch. Wethington likes the functionality of the indoor-outdoor space and the sizable den. "It allows me to host both small and large groups," she notes. "It just works." Next, Wethington asked designer Margaret Kirkland to infuse warmth and youthfulness into her traditional interiors without getting rid of her cherished antiques. Kirkland recalls, "Molly said, I want it to be cozy and comfortable, whether Paul and I are here by ourselves or we have a big group of people over. That was our driver in everything. They filled the rooms with a mix of relaxed upholstered furniture and contemporary pieces. Here are Kirkland's best tips for creating modern comfort. Inject more color. The home's stately exterior appealed to Wethington, but she wanted the inside to be peppier with lots of blue, purple, pink, and even lime green. Such lively hues are mood boosters, Kirkland swears. I want people to feel something when they come home, she says. Hopefully it's happy or serene or restful. To ensure the look wasn't overwhelming, she was also generous with neutrals. For For instance, to temper the blue, Wethington's favorite shade, in the den, Kirkland kept the walls white and the velvet sectional taupe. Give rooms small space coziness. With its outsized footprint and 16-foot vaulted ceiling, the den could have felt huge and cavernous. Kirkland notes of the family's main living space, "We wanted to make sure all the upholstery was inviting and soft to counteract that, so she covered Wethington's existing deep blue chairs in a floral manual canvas fabric, Manoir in Ceylon, and chose a velvet for the super comfortable hickory chair sectional. Multiple lamps and sconces add a warm touch, but the rustic Paul Ferrante chandelier really stands out. At nearly 4 feet in diameter, it's big enough to be the focal point in such a sizable space. Revive your old pieces. Many of Wethington's existing furnishings leaned toward classic, but Kirkland gave several of them a facelift with a simple coat of paint. Framed artwork in the dining room got a lighter wash, or fresh upholstery. The biggest makeover was on a set of red needlepoint embroidered chairs in the bold living room. She recovered them in a brown and white curvy stripe, Schumacher's The Wave. They were beautiful before, but now they're fun too, says Wethington. Add interesting antiques to your collection. Thanks to Wethington's regular pastime of scouring local shop Park Monco for antique finds, she already had quite a nice collection of pieces, says Kirkland. To get an even broader mix, the designer sourced eclectic items. A Moroccan rug added graphic interest in the living room and a dose of plushness that softens all the fine furniture. Dare to be modern, a combination of black and white marble tile, an ornate mirror, and a vintage console made the foyer, the home's first impression, seem too formal. To help loosen it up, Kirkland swapped out the ivory paint for Benjamin Moore's soothing White Dove, OC-17, which provided a backdrop for abstract pieces. Lively art sets the tone that this house is an upbeat traditional rather than the sedated kind, she explains. Hold on to the classic dining room. A beautiful antique chandelier was already the star of Wethington's dining room, notes Kirkland. To let it shine and help the space feel lighter and brighter, she selected Sherwin-Williams' pale pink white dogwood, SW-6315, for the walls, and pearly white, SW-7009, for the trim. Wethington says, with the room's previous green shade, the chandelier just didn't pop quite that much. But now I'm like, oh, I like that even more. Surround yourself with your favorite things. Simply shifting around the existing pieces can refresh a room. So Wethington and Kirkland spent weeks trying out her furnishings in different areas of the house. For instance, her beloved grandfather clock was moved from a rarely seen spot into the den. It makes me so happy that now I can appreciate it every single day, says Wethington. It's like I got a new piece of furniture. Prioritize gathering spots. The L-shaped porch was built to be an entertaining area, with the kitchen windows serving as a direct pass-through to the dining area. Kirkland wanted it to have a light-hearted and celebratory feel. Parisian bistro-inspired dining chairs and a petrified wood coffee table exude what she calls a relaxed but inspiring vibe, while an extra-deep, sturdy daybed swing ensures that the area remains a popular destination even after the party is over. A dreamy master bedroom, walls and an antique settee covered in the same lavender pattern, Balinese Peacock by Scalamandre, create a peaceful oasis. To help the dark wood rice bed fit better in this pastel scheme, they painted it off-white. A secret bar, Sherwin-Williams Rich Blue, Naval, SW-6244, completely transformed the den's bar. It's an unexpected little jewel box, Kirkland says. The deep color makes it feel hip, and the Dutch door is an interesting architectural detail. Picture of health. The 411. Listen to your heart. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death for men and women in the United States. This February, celebrate American Heart Month by checking your numbers, from blood pressure to body mass index, BMI, as these are heart disease risk factors that you can treat or control. Learn more at GourdForWomen.org. Secrets to a Good Life, around the world in 30 days. Logan Tinley has always loved flying. My grandfather took me up in the air when I was 6 or 7, and we did a bunch of flips, says the Texas native. It was the most wonderful feeling. By his junior year of high school, Tinley had his pilot's license. So when he learned 2 years later that a family friend, 8-year-old Ethan Lassiter, had been diagnosed with cancer, he knew how he could help. I'm lucky enough to have access to a plane, so I figured I should use it, he says. The Vanderbilt University sophomore flew around the world, touching down in 19 countries in 30 days to help raise awareness about pediatric cancer, as well as more than $97,000 for the Aflac Cancer and Blood Disorders Center of Children's Health Care of Atlanta. At the time of his flight, Tinley was the youngest American to fly solo around the globe, but his visit to the hospital was the most rewarding experience. Knowing that the money is going to help these kids made every emotion, every frustration of the trip worth it. House call. In honor of American Heart Month, interventional cardiologist Dr. Robert E. Foster shares the importance of heart health for women. Know your risk. The biggest myth is that it's a man's disease, says Dr. Foster. Heart disease actually kills more women than men because women's vessels are smaller. Even the tiniest amount of plaque buildup is a serious problem in a very small vessel. Recognize the symptoms. Women often wait longer to see a physician because they don't get the typical warning signs, he says. While chest tightness may signal heart attacks in men, women often experience sharp pain and breathlessness that people generally don't associate with the heart. Be proactive. Once women turn 40, they should consider getting a cardiac calcium score. We scan your heart to see if you have any hardening of the arteries. It's better to find out at 40 that there might be a risk than at 60 once you've had a heart attack, says Dr. Foster. Great gear. Pulse check. Monitor your heart rate, listen to music, and track your route on Fitbit's newest water-resistant smartwatch, Fitbit Versa, $200, fitbit.com. From the Southern Tales section, fun fact, a long history. It's possible that humans began treating dogs as pets around 40,000 years ago. The American Kennel Club says the pug is one of the oldest breeds, dating back to before 400 BC. Petiquette, Sidekicks, The Real Reason We're So Attached to Our Dogs, by Catherine Owen. Man's oldest friend. Scientists are not exactly sure how long dogs have been domesticated, but our daily interactions with these once wild animals show how much they've established themselves as part of the modern family. According to a 2015 Harris poll, around 62% of U.S. households own a pet, and 95% reported viewing them as family members. In good company, dogs aren't the only ones who have a lot of benefit from time spent with humans, including long walks and tasty table scraps. Most pet owners attest to feeling happier when they're with their four-legged companions, and a recent Kent State University study proved that children cope better in a stressful situation when there are dogs in the room. Fetching find. Play tug-of-war or simply cuddle up with this ready-for-anything, heavy-duty, cotton rope toy. Skipper Rope Dog Toy, $14 each, mission-pets.com. Thank you for listening to today's Southern Living Magazine. This is Angela Odie saying goodbye from Owl Radio, and I hope you have a great weekend.